to put these things off. We know not to grieve, not to smother, hinder. And here's the easy place. This is the place to sit down and park and get in God's house, and it's easy, seems here. But once we go out them doors, we face our troubles, our trials, we got a hammer on our finger, and them choice words pop off in our head, and you're thinking them, but you know, God sees them, but don't let them out. It put a zipper on it. And sometimes those things are learned in time. That's what we do. We learn, we retrain our thinking. So here in Colossians chapter 3, and it was wonderful that Brother Westfield, he got to preach some here. He brought some of these thoughts out here in his preaching last. Boy, that was good, wasn't it? I don't know if how many got to hear that. But let's look at verse 1 in chapter 3. And listen to the words, how they're displayed here. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. So if you're saved, you are risen with Christ. You're raised anew. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Satan's really prone to get us to think on things on the earth. Think with the Joneses, you know, the people down the street. And he's so prone to, through our eye gate of what we see. That's why the billboards do what they do. That's why the advertisement. I remember the awards in the Sears and Roebuck magazines, you know, when Christmas time come, you know, hit the Christmas pages, you know, and wear them out and start nickeling over the, bending over the corners, you know, on the pages. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Now we got some, you've been, Brother Artie, Miss Lily, and Mrs. Barb, and Brother Paul, you've been at this a lot longer than we've been at it. How do you set your affections above? Huh? Praying. Because doing it myself, I will fail. I can count on that. Roger will fail. If I'm trying, I'm a doing, I'm a wrestling, I'm going to fail. I will fail. I can count on it. I'll fail bigger than I'll get out. But the thing is, praying now, I am asking for help from another power. I realize my weakness. I realize I am empty and vain, that I can do nothing without Him. I can do nothing within myself. So I must surrender my will to His will. And praying, what's some other things you might do? Read your Bible. There's the key. Because is it easy to read your Bible? It's not, is it? Flesh hates that word of God, man. It can't stand it. It don't want it. It's like giving castro syrup to a 3-year-old, and they've done tasted of it and they don't like it. Mm-mm. Open that mouth up. Mm-mm. Open that mouth up. Mm-mm. Ugh. Ah. Yeah. Remember, who's ever had castro syrup? It tastes good, don't it? Don't it? But the Bible, the flesh does not want to read. It don't want to subject itself to the Word of God. It knows what's there, and it's like, ugh. It's kind of like a vampire, you know, and then you bring a cross to him. He goes, ugh. I don't want that joke. But inside the new man is renewed daily. He draws strength. The new man, the one that's created after God Almighty. So if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things, but not on the things of earth. Now listen what it says. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now remember when we was in 1 John, there's going to be something said here in a minute, and it's very important. Now look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. It's going to be a sobering day when that judgment time comes for every one of us. Opportunities we let slip by us. I'll be truthful. I don't want no more missed opportunities. I'm tired of people slipping through the cracks, as the preacher said this week. And it's our responsibility. Yours, every one of our responsibilities. Our loved ones, our neighbors, people you work with, they're falling through the cracks. But there's times, we're a Christian, it's kind of like, there's an old song, I'm going to get carnal here in a minute. It said, you got a wheel in the ditch and a wheel on the track. Sometimes as Christians, we're like that. We got a wheel in the ditch and we got a wheel on the track. We're doing right. We're in church. We're doing right. We're trying to read. We're trying to pray. We're trying to be faithful. We're tithing, doing things that we need to do. Yet we got one wheel dragging in a ditch. You ever drive that way? You've been in a truck, and you get one of these detours, and you got your semi going down a back road, and all of a sudden you feel that trailer slip off that edge. Now, if you ain't careful, it can pull the rest of you off, won't it? It's a real good feeling, ain't it? No, it's not a good feeling. It's like, oh, shoot, I'm going to lose the whole rig here in a minute. But spiritually speaking, you get that wheel off. Sometimes that wheel will start dragging the rest of you. And if you ain't careful, the rest of us gets off track. Our flesh, and to think, so if a heart's desperately wicked, who can know it? And we know it's utterly perverse. It utters and mutters things that it shouldn't never mutter. And to know that's inside of us, that old man's there. We're nowhere to put on this new man which is created after Christ and bringing that even keel in the middle where God wants to be living and walking and breathing for Him. Give me some ideas what you do. We heard reading, we heard praying, what's some things to do to help you walk right. Huh? Good Christian music. Good atmosphere. Pastor said it more times once. Walk in Walmart and not even know it's there. They're not even singing words. But he gets out to the car and he's singing words to this song, this old Beatles song. And it's, where in the world did that come from? It don't take much for us to get off the track. And you know what I'm talking about, them tunes. I got a billion tunes in my head, and a lot of them I wish I could just hit delete, 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 and just get it out of there. I got things I've seen that I wish I could just say delete, 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 and delete them out and just get rid of them. It'd be a lot easier. So we're reprogramming ourselves to live for God and getting ourselves to put more right things in. So to replace it with good music, with prayer, and it's a daily grind to do it right. And I've told you before, that one day, man, I missed. I got up late. My battery was dead on my alarm clock. I got up and I said, 5 minutes to get to work and it's a 20-minute drive. Somebody's going to be clocking in late. Even though I drug the bottom of that 77 Granada, every heel went... I mean, it was dark yet, and then if somebody's behind me, you'd have thought the car was on fire. Sparks are flying out from underneath that thing. I was getting to work, and I clocked in late. Buddy, I got there, though, and I run in there, and I went in there and went, what the world's different about this place? I could feel it. I could feel the evil in the air that I didn't feel other times because I prayed up, I was read my Bible in the morning, and I went in there without my armor on. And I could literally, it's like when I come in the door, like someone took a bucket of crud and just went whoosh. And I could feel it. It's like I wanted to go crawl underneath a desk and hide. I mean, that's how I feel. It's like, goodness gracious, what's in this place? It just like I felt bad. I felt evil all around me. I wanted to just go back out and say, forget this, I'll just call in. I mean, that's how I felt. Then it dawned on me. I got up. No Bible. I prayed in the car. I prayed I didn't kill myself. You know, that I made it alive. But getting there, I didn't have something else on. I was unprepared. I went to work without the armor of God on. I didn't have the Spirit. Spirit of God, He's there and He's willing. But the flesh is weak. Buddy, I found Brother Eddie Branch there. I remember running back to his dad and quick as I could get back here. And he says, what's going on, brother? I said, where's that Bible in your desk? I'm going to read it out loud, just as loud as I can read it and run these demons out of my head. Who's ever worked in a factory? You know the evil, the soap operas, the junk, the porn, the evil thinking, the manipulation of every type, every level, every degree was there. And I'm under 45 acres under one roof. And it's everything in that thing. Ford, yeah, you worked there. Well, you worked at another, but I know the same stuff went on with mine went on at yours. But it's a warfare. We got to get in this battle and get serious about it. So, real quickly, turn your Bibles to Psalm 63. I want you to see some things here. Psalm 63. And I always wondered, how did David do it? David didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. David didn't have the complete written Word of God. He had one thing going for him. And it was his desire. His desire was what? Who can tell me what David's desire was? Who can tell me? He was the only one in the whole Word of God that had this desire. Well, others may have it, but there's only one that was written about. He had a heart after the heart of God. His desire was after the heart of God. Read here with me real quick. Psalm 63. Listen to his prayer here. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. Now listen how he says this. My soul thirsteth for Thee, and my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. David was reminded of times he seen God in the church house. Psalm 63, you there? But listen, he says, O God, can you hear his heart? Thou art my God. He had none other. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water's at. You ever been in a place where there's no water? We had to pack in our water at one time from the creek, and it was interesting. We wasn't totally dry. There's a creek over the hill, but after the flush of toilets and boil water and to run over that hill every time, 5 gallon buckets, it got kind of aggravating after a while, packing that up that hill all the time just so we could have water. But this is a dry and thirsty land where no water is. There's no water there. And David says, my soul thirsteth for Thee, and my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He had a thirst for God. He had an appetite that went after God. Now, let's back up here to Psalm 62, one right before it. Listen to these words. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only, here it is, brother. Brother Bobby, here it is. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? He shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. And look at verse 5 real quick. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from Him. He sought none from none other but God. His desire was God. And that's that desire what makes you, Miss Lily, grab that Bible and read it anyways. Through that desire, what helps us to pray. Through that desire, what helps us to get in church house. Through that desire is what we muzzle our mouths and make ourselves, bring ourselves, as Paul says, I bring myself into subjection. In other words, he put a full Nelson on himself. You figure out how to do that. Get my arms behind my... I didn't have to break both collarbones to get her done, but that's what he was saying. And grieve not. He didn't have all... We're reading all this, these letters to you, Ephesus, Colossians, and 1 John. He didn't have those things, but he had desire. And that desire went a whole long ways just by desiring God. That says mountains to me. Just through desire, he had a heart after God's own will. I got loved ones I want to reach. And we may be the only ones to get a, between God and them. We may be the only avenue that God's going to move for. So I want my prayer life not to be hindered. Because if I regarded Nick, if I got unforgiveness or something in my heart that ain't right, if I regarded Nick with my heart, God said he won't hear. So I want to have that right. So through desire is how I crucify my old wicked flesh and make it do right, that I can bear forth fruit. God's ordained us. He's ordained you. He's ordained me. In other words, he's got a purpose for you. Purpose for all of us, and that's to bear fruit for Him. Some 30, some 60, some 100, some more. But we're all to bear forth fruit. If it ain't bearing forth fruit, what happens to the tree? It what? It'll even be hewn down. So, let us bear forth fruit. I know I'm out of time. Let's pray. Father, do God love you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Help us, dear God, to be mindful of desiring you, Lord.